in 2019, when Democratic lawmakers and Governor Andrew Cuomo came up short on a deal to legalize adult-use marijuana, they did come to an agreement on a law automatically expunging certain misdemeanor marijuana convictions from the criminal records of some New Yorkers. Fast forward to the end of March, and with the adoption of marijuana legalization in New York, the state is going even further in its campaign to reverse the consequences of the state's war on drugs. To break down some of the ramifications of the new law, we spoke recently with Emma Goodman, a staff attorney with the Special Litigation Unit in the Legal Aid Society, who created the Case Closed Project in 2017 to help New Yorkers move past their criminal convictions. Welcome back to the show, Emma. We're so happy to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So when the governor signed this bill, New Yorkers, 21 and over, can legally possess up to 3 ounces of marijuana, and that amount is going to go up in the future. So how does the law go about reconciling the fact that there are people who have criminal records for possessing that amount of marijuana in the past?
The law actually automatically expunges people's convictions for anything that's being decriminalized, which means all of those old marijuana possession offenses and some low-level sale offenses will actually automatically be expunged moving forward.
And you and I have had this conversation about language in the past. Expungement, what does that mean exactly? And how does it compare to, say, sealing of records?
So expungement is actually vacating the conviction. So it's stronger than sealing, which is basically suppressing or hiding the conviction. For employment purposes, it doesn't always make a difference, but there are circumstances where it makes a difference, especially when you're talking about federal regulations. The expungement is stronger. It's also important for people to feel like the conviction is actually removed from their record, not just hidden, especially when you're talking about the war on drugs and the inequality around marijuana arrests and prosecutions. Actually erasing those convictions is important and significant for people.
You mentioned that employment aspect and how the expungement of criminal records matters. What are some other ways in which expungement and sealing of records is really important to people as they're trying to go about leading an ordinary life?
I mean, the list is pretty endless. Employment is definitely one of the biggest ones. Housing is also a really important area where getting your record expunged makes a huge difference. Licensure, getting loans. I have a friend who has a criminal conviction, and because it's a publicly available criminal conviction, he can't get life insurance to actually pay for his funeral because they wouldn't grant it because of his conviction. There are thousands and thousands of ways that having a criminal record, even for something very insignificant like misdemeanor marijuana possession, prevents you from participating in daily society.
Do you have any sense of how many New Yorkers this automatic expungement is going to affect?
I don't have the actual numbers, and I am trying to get those from the Office of Court Administration and the Division of Criminal Justice Services. I think it is fair to say hundreds of thousands of people, because marijuana is one of the things that people have been arrested for more, maybe the most, out of anything in New York's history. The prior 20 or 30 years of policing have relied heavily on low-level marijuana arrests. So you have to assume we're talking about huge numbers of people that will be affected.
Is it possible that some of the affected people are currently in prison for crimes that have to do with marijuana and that are now potentially legal? And if so, what happens to them? Are they, say, immediately released?
They are supposed to be immediately released. I saw something online yesterday that there were at least 19 people in state prisons that were supposed to be getting released as a result of this bill passing, but they had not yet been released. And I am waiting to hear. Hopefully they'll be released immediately because that's what the law mandates.
Based on your experience dealing with institutions, including New York State government, what's your expectation, though, for something like that?
My expectation is that there are going to have to be people paying attention and making some noise about it for it to actually happen, or things will fall through the cracks. They are already being asked by reporters and advocates when people are getting out. So I think that's, you know, moving things in the right direction, but I won't believe it until I see it.
Automatic expungement that we've been talking about so far is something, as it says, is automatic and wouldn't require any work. But is there a component of the criminal justice aspects of this bill with regards to other, I guess, benefits of the decriminalization that New Yorkers who might have a criminal record or might be in prison will need an attorney to help them navigate?
So in order to get the expungement, no. It is automatic. You don't need to do anything. There are two times when you might need a lawyer. One of them is if you have certain issues that you need an individualized determination for, such as potentially an immigration consequence as part of your conviction, there is an opportunity to apply for vacature under 440. There's a new vacature provision in the law. That may be necessary, and you would need an attorney to file that application with the court. There also are some people that are serving time or that have served time and are not eligible for the entire case to be expunged, but they would be eligible for a reduced sentence. And that will require actually applying to the court to have the sentence reduced. And you would need a lawyer for that as well.
I know this is, again, really soon after the law was adopted, but do you have any idea, you know, rough strokes again, how many people that might involve? Is it, again, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people?
I think it will be a lot less than the expungement. It's really hard to know how many people are eligible for reduced sentences without the state agencies telling us, because it is complicated. So that's the thing that I think we're going to have to wait and see and start to do some digging about what that actually means and how we can reach out to the people that are eligible to make sure that they're getting the help they need in the court process.
You're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about some of the criminal justice aspects of the recently adopted marijuana legalization legislation in New York. And our guest is Emma Goodman, a staff attorney with the Special Litigation Unit in the Legal Aid Society. So, Emma, this bill is very long. It's very detailed. It's, you know, not like a Harry Potter book that you can just really run through in a couple nights. What are you, like, planning on doing a deeper dive into in this legislation, you know, over the coming days and weeks?
So the bill is very long, and I definitely think that people should educate themselves and be looking to legislators and people like me that are actually putting information out that have really read it and looked at it before they start just going out on the street and smoking. They should know the law first. I'm going to be looking at the odor provision, which actually prevents the police from using odor as the basis for a stop and a search, which is a sea change in policing here, especially in New York City, but around the state. Using the odor of marijuana as an excuse to stop and search people is one of the main reasons why the police stop, especially young men on the street. So that is going to be a huge change, and actually educating the community about what that means and about how to assert their rights is going to be something that's important for all of us. And then I'm going to be spending a lot of time making sure that the expungement is actually being done and implemented properly. Even though it's automatic, you still have to make sure all of the agencies are doing what they're supposed to do to effectuate that correctly. And that's going to take some monitoring by people like me to make sure they do it.
On the odor front, I noticed in the language, just glancing, I think somebody posted on social media that there was a distinction between, I guess, maybe the odor of marijuana and burnt marijuana. Did you see that? And any idea why they were making a distinction there?
The purpose of the distinction is just to make it clear that it was basically saying they can't use either thing. So either burning or just if it's in your pocket or your backpack and it's not a burning smell, mm-hmm. Both of those smells are not grounds for searching somebody. The other thing is that in a car, if you're driving, allegedly driving under the influence of marijuana and the officers don't smell burnt marijuana, then there's no reason to think that you were just using it, because if you were, they would smell burnt marijuana.
That driving component is something I was curious about, because, you know, we've seen how the war on drugs has been waged disproportionately against people of color. And because there's not, you know, a good test for whether you're driving while impaired by marijuana, like the way we have with a breathalyzer and alcohol, are you concerned at all about disproportionate enforcement, you know, with police officers targeting people of color, even though this is, you know, legal? And or do you feel like the legislation has written enough safeguards, like with this, you know, odor test, that there are protections in place to prevent that kind of abuse?
I'm always worried about disproportionate enforcement. So, of course, I'm worried about it in this context as well. Anytime there is something that's criminalized, it is disproportionately enforced against people of color throughout the country. So that's just a fact. I do think that the legislation does everything it can to reduce the ability of the police to go beyond the scope of what they should be doing when they're stopping somebody for that purpose. So it does stop. Not only does it mean that they can't search the entire car if they think somebody was driving under the influence, if the odor is not of burning marijuana, they can't assume the person was driving under the influence. And we really spent a lot of time thinking about that and thinking about how to protect people as much as we could, while also understanding that we don't want people driving around high and getting into car accidents, because that's not a good idea either. So obviously that was going to continue to be criminalized, but trying to reduce the police's ability to use it disproportionately against the people, they always will.
If people want to learn more about their rights under this new law, is there anywhere they can go on your website, for example, or on the state websites to find out more information?
I think right now everybody is still trying to wrap their heads around the, I believe it's 130-something pages of text, and making sure they understand it. There will be tons of public information. My office is working with other defenders in New York City to put together information. The Start Smart Coalition, that was a big part of the movement behind this that I'm a member of, will be doing public information events. And I've already seen legislators that voted in support of the bill starting to put information out on Twitter and Instagram and just trying to educate the public about what their rights are, effective immediately. So there will be a lot of information out there. People just need to look for it.
Well, we've been speaking with Emma Goodman. She's a staff attorney with the Special Litigation Unit in the Legal Aid Society, and she created the Case Closed Project in 2017 to help New Yorkers move past their criminal convictions. Emma, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again for having me. Always great to talk to you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.